This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
I consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Yes, sir. Back in the Fan Run studio, Draven Fine, Charlie Collier here with you.
Hey, buddy.
Hayden and Cam, man, showing up a little late today, huh, Chuck? Looks like it's just us running the show today. Love to see it.
It's the way it was always meant to be.
That's what I always thought, you know? That's what I was saying.
Yeah. Well, you texted me. First, within 5 seconds of each other, Hayden and Cam both texted, hey, gonna be about 10 minutes late.
Mm-hmm.
And then you threw in a text like, I'm also going to be late. And I was just thinking, I'm just alone for a show that I'm not on?
The Charlie Collier Show.
I was going to get serious.
Just good evening. Real deep, in-depth,
and
serious
welcome,
sports
welcome
talk
to
for
talk
you.
Sports.
We're going to touch on the issues that are really pressing in the sports world as in the moment.
Just a sad and depressing, no energy, nothing.
Juwan James, what should we do?
Juwan James, to be... or not to be.
Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Ayo. How you going to be celebrating today, Chuck?
See, it's really unfortunate for me, right? Because the Nashville Predators have a chance to clinch the playoffs
the Preds.
With a win and a Dallas loss in regulation. So this is a big night for me, you know, as
got
a diehard Preds
fan. He's ready?
Like, I'm really fired up, man. I woke up ready to roll. So that game's at 7 o'clock. And I want to watch it. So I guess I'm just not going to be going out for Cinco de Mayo, which is heartbreaking because, man, it's Cinco de Mayo.
I was about to say. It's almost like a must.
But
is it a must? Like, how,
it's a must.
Everybody's going out.
Exams are done. We're in college. This is our last college Cinco de Mayo, too.
This is, man.
We have no responsibilities, Draven.
Last 3 days.
The only thing that we are required to do is just show up here and talk about sports for a couple hours. We have no responsibilities. We can go wild for Cinco de Mayo.
We could.
But the Preds are playing, so I don't know. I'll probably just go get some daiquiri mix on the way home. I'm man enough to admit that I like daiquiris. I got
nothing
one of the Margaritaville Jimmy Buffett margarita makers, and I'll just drink my fill and watch the Preds.
People judging daiquiris? Like,
dude, I feel like as a man, it's tough to order a fruity drink in public. It is tough. Like, I don't know, I was out about a month ago at a Mexican establishment, and all I wanted was a pina colada, but I was with a couple females, and I was like, man, if I order a pina colada, they are just going to think so much less of me. I don't know.
I don't know if that's true, though, man. Everybody likes those drinks.
But then, like, if you're comfortable with your masculinity, though, I feel like you can order one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you like margaritas, pina coladas?
I'm not a huge margarita guy. I'm not. I think...
I'm glad you said that. Because I
not,
also...
Not a huge fan?
No.
Yeah. I think it's just too much. It's a lot for me. For some reason, just... all of it together, the sugariness of it maybe, too, just the sweetness of it
I'll
sometimes.
I'll catch a headache
like,
before I catch a buzz.
That's exactly. It's straight to the head for me, straight right like you said.
If you splurge, get a little bougie and get the nice ones that don't have like that cheap sweet and sour mix, you know, then I enjoy them. Like an actual, you know, you get the good
right.
agave, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. and throw out that cheap mix. But, man, I'm balling on a budget.
I will tell you though
this,
Chuck.
Bougie margaritas.
I will tell you this. Tequila shots, though. I mean, that's king of
yes.
shots, right? Am I wrong in saying that? Just overall, anybody, any group of people, anybody. I think tequila shots are always just a good like. Hey, everybody does them.
Me and Brandon had tequila shots last night.
Celebrating early, huh?
Every day is a celebration.
Exactly.
Tequila shots. I don't know that a good green tea shot,
okay.
a good shot of bourbon,
right?
But
oof, wow.
That and loaded Coronas.
Yeah, I heard you. I heard you talking about that.
I was shocked that no one else knew about it.
That was the first I've heard of it. I was honestly interested though.
I was on a cruise like 4 years back, and I was with my uncle and my brother. And he's like, "Hey, I got an idea. We need these loaded Coronas." I was like, "What is that?" And you get the Corona, you pour a shot of Bacardi Lime, and it is delicious. It tastes just like you're drinking a Corona with lime. But you're just getting an extra shot there.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah,
you're getting a little extra buzz in there, huh?
Yeah, you're buzzing pretty good, you know? So,
interesting.
Maybe I'll get a case of Corona and some Bacardi Lime.
There you go. Watch the Preds. Preds getting big win. Speaking of the Preds, man, I ain't been really keeping up with them. What are we talking here? Are we talking championship contender? Are we still in that potential window? What are we talking here with the Preds this year?
After last year's kind of debacle, people thought the window was kind of closing. You know, people thought that the Preds would be sellers and try to rebuild because they didn't really have a great young core. And then come March, Preds were down bad. They were, you know, like 6 games under .500, close to last in the point column, and half the roster was hurt. It was bad. I mean, it was just like, yeah, let's just dump who we got and figure this thing out, fire the coach, whatever. And when everyone got hurt, we had to start calling all these young dudes up. And it was young guys that weren't really considered high-level prospects, but like bottom-line guys that could contribute down the road maybe a little bit. And they started playing really well.
Love to see it.
Really, really well. And it kind of reshaped how everyone thought about the Predators. They were no longer sellers. They were fighting back into the playoff race, and it didn't really still seem that likely that they would stay around in the playoff race, but they fought back into it a little bit, and they were relevant again. And then they didn't stop winning. They just kept on rolling along. They started beating better teams. And people started coming back from injury. And now here we are in the fourth spot for the playoffs, the final spot, with 3 games left. The Preds play the Blue Jackets and then the Hurricanes twice. And the Stars, who are 4 points behind, have 4 games left. The Preds own that tiebreaker. The Stars play the Lightning twice and the Blackhawks twice. So if the Preds win tonight and the Stars lose in regulation, then the Preds get that final playoff spot.
Let's go.
They would likely match up with the Hurricanes in the first round, who is a team that the Preds have struggled mightily with, not just this season, but really for many years now. Even when the Hurricanes weren't good and the Preds were good, we still could never beat the Hurricanes. So I don't really know how much potential they have to make a deep run, but they're gritty. They're going to be a tough out. I mean, the way they've been playing lately, they're going to play any team tough. They're not a team that anyone really wants to see. So there's potential there. It'd be nice if the Lightning could make a little run at the end of the year and take the take first instead of the Hurricanes, because we would much rather play Lightning in the first round. It's a better matchup.
Mm-hmm.
But things are looking up all of a sudden in the hockey world.
All right. Preds back, and we welcome Hayden Wallen. Yay, Hayden.
Hayden.
Wow.
I think this might sound rude, and I apologize if it is rude, because I love you dearly. I really do. But you Snapchatted me at like 8:30 in the morning. You've been awake for a while.
It was like 6:45.
Even better. No, did you go back to sleep?
I just never had went to sleep.
Mm. Two all-nighters in a row?
Pretty much, yeah.
Sounds like you might have procrastinated a little bit.
No, it was an exam I was studying for.
Grinding. Yeah. Proud of you.
Got 100 on it. So.
Yeah, you do. I'm so proud of you, Hayden Wallen.
I mean, that might be like one of the most clutchest things I've ever done in school.
I'm so proud of you.
I had a B-plus going in, and I had to get 100 if I wanted to get an A. Like, there was no other option. Because a 96 would have got me an A-minus. Put in there.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with
grabbed that 100.
Nothing wrong with the B-plus, Hayden.
Wow.
I personally think that I broke the school record for most B pluses ever accumulated by one single student in an undergrad study.
What's the old saying? C's get degrees? I mean, I don't even think a C plus. C's that bad.
I mean, at this point, no. Scholarships were locked in for the final semester. A C gets me that little piece of paper and a little trip across the stage and keeps the parents happy. I'm good.
So what's the excuse, though? Here, Hayden, what's your issue? Just lack of sleep, or what are we talking about?
Oh, yeah, I went back to sleep at like 8 o'clock, and then I woke up at like 11:30, and I was just like,
Because I feel like...
Same story.
Huh? Yeah, I do the same thing with the Blitz. I'm normally rolling in about 5 minutes before the show starts, but I feel like you're always kind of rolling in at the end. Like, do you sleep normally, or do you just, like...
Well, the question is here is, how long does it take you to wake up? Because, I mean, a lot of people take some... Some people need 20 minutes, 30 minutes even, to kind of even just get out of bed.
No, it doesn't take me long to get out of bed. I just have to take a shower, and then get dressed, and then drive here. Just kind of...
Gotta dress all nice.
You don't just
nice
like nix the shower if you don't have time. Like, you're just like, I'd rather shower and be late.
Yeah,
interesting.
Doesn't seem like a team player approach to me.
How long does it take you to get out of bed?
Me?
Yeah,
not long. I wake up and just
I have an
positive
alarm
energy already. Yeah, you know, see, I just wake up with just kind of up. I'm ready to go. Once I'm up too. There's no going back to sleep for me. That's the one thing.
That's
never could ever go
back
to sleep.
Dangerous territory.
It is, Hayden.
Because then you're like half asleep. You're like in a dream where you think you're kind of waking up and then you're not. And like your weird sleep state is telling you that you don't actually have to do things. It's weird. See, I set my alarm clock up. I put it where I can't reach it from my bed. So
yeah,
I have to get up
too.
To turn it off. Yeah. And then I try to jump out of bed every morning. So sorry to my downstairs neighbors, by the way. But yeah, I try to just jump out of bed.
Is that just like to get out of it?
Put on some good vibes music and...
That does
do a
help.
Little calisthenics, get the blood flowing, look myself in the eye.
What do you
do, mirror.
Jumping jacks before you when you wake
yeah,
up? Like,
I do.
What are we doing
sometimes.
Here?
Jumping jacks. A
just get you a little, just get you ready, okay?
Dancing. I like to dance when I first wake up. Then I look in the mirror and I tell myself it's going to be a great day.
There you go. Maybe you need to start doing that, Hayden. You get here on time. More positive vibes. Maybe start dancing
yeah,
in the
you always seem grumpy when you get here, too,
That
Hayden.
Is true.
You're
grumpy
you
and
got
late.
So much going
not a
for
good
you.
Combo.
I love a good happy Hayden.
Hayden, tell me what's the sports story of the day for today?
The Preds.
Well,
the Preds.
Well, how about that? We talked about the Preds. I guess you know could talk.
Yeah,
about...
Yeah, I know that's why I said that, Draven. You dumbass.
Funny. What about them Nationals last night?
And I think it's time to go to break. All right, back
we
with
will
the,
find
back
the
sports
story
of the day.
Yeah,
after this. Back here in the Fan Run Radio, Fan Run Studios. Jeez,
Cam.
Hello,
yeah,
I made
back.
It.
Hey, we're all here. Hey, what do you know?
What a day! What a day to have a day.
What do
I
you know?
There was so much traffic in Fountain City, man. I'm still getting used to like where I live now compared to where I used to live a couple months ago. So
yeah,
it's all over the place. All over the place. But
how
we're
we
here.
Doing?
We
how
made
we doing?
It.
How we doing today, Cam?
I'm doing good. I was not expecting it to still be raining today, but whatever. It happens. It's still going. Whatever.
Hey, we're healing the earth.
It is healing the earth.
Such
nature is healing.
Saying. Such nature a stupid
healing.
Saying. We're healing the earth. Yeah.
There's an entire
right.
song in Swahili about it. I had to sing it in my third grade program.
Really?
Yeah.
In Swahili? Did you sing it in Swahili?
Yeah. Kuti kialo.
Okay.
Kuti kazo juma.
Oh,
Demisha
yeah.
RD.
You still know it.
For
that's
some reason,
that's impressive.
I will never ever
that
forget
is impressive.
That as long as I live.
Swahili
it means
sticks
let the rain
with you.
Come down, let it heal the earth for you and me.
That's beautiful.
It really is.
Man.
It's hauntingly beautiful.
I'm just amazed that you still know that. You said, what, third grade?
Maybe second.
Jeez.
We had an entire Earth Day program. It was rocking around the earth. I think I know like all the songs still. It's weird. From all the programs.
There you go.
They made
that's
me dress
pretty
up as
impressive.
A turkey in kindergarten.
Turkey?
Yeah. we had a Thanksgiving program. They made me dress up as the turkey.
Was there multiple? Were you the only turkey?
Yeah, there were some more turkeys.
There was multiple
was
turkeys.
I
didn't know if he was like the star, the main event there.
The main turkey.
The main turkey.
In my eyes, I'm always the main turkey. I have a picture. I'll find it.
Oh, Lord. No,
please
do.
Yes.
Please do. We would
post
like
that
to
on
see
Twitter
that picture.
For everybody, too.
Did y'all hit any story of the day so far?
No, just still trying to figure it out.
Chance to clinch the playoffs. I got a news story that just came out for you.
Oh, what just happened?
Uh-oh.
24-7. just released its final update to the basketball recruiting rankings for the 2021 class.
Okay.
Big news for some Tennessee players.
Yeah, but where's Tennessee at on this?
Five-star Kennedy Chandler jumped up 9 whole spots.
9 spots, okay.
Now landing at the number 8 overall prospect in the class. And the number 1 point guard in the class, passing Alabama signee J.D.
Nice. Bama. We finally be back. Bailing something.
Bama. Let's go.
Let's go.
4-star center Jonas Adu. The 7-footer who committed and signed with the Vols in April jumped up 38 spots.
Oh, snap.
To finish number 42 overall after previously being ranked 80. Okay. Brandon Huntley Hatfield, a consensus top 10 prospect in the 2022 class who reclassified, is now ranked number 20 overall.
Okay, that's fair enough for him, though. You know, reclassifying, you can't really fault him for, you know, not being too high there. But okay.
And Jemai Meshack is now 51. So that has Tennessee's class jumping a little bit.
Okay. Look at that. Look at Rick Barnes out here.
Now includes 4 signees ranked number 51 or higher.
Oof, love to hear
best
that.
Class look
at
all
that.
Time.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think we've had a better recruiting class than that ever in basketball, at least. And okay, that's awesome. And I'm super happy that Kenny Chandler's above the Bama guy now.
Quentin,
that's nice.
Quentin DeBoungie. Is that how you say it? I have no idea how to say it. DeBoungie? Anyone know how to say it?
DeBoungie?
DeBoungie. I feel like, there'd be more.
DeBoungie.
Yeah, you got to put the French on it.
I don't know if that's
the
correct pronunciation.
DeBoungie.
DeBoungie?
DeBoungie.
There you go. But oh, no, that's okay. Big. That's
he,
big.
He fell. He made it in the top 300. He cracked it. Just barely. 293.
Okay. Yeah, there's not a ton of. That's
number 59. Number 59 shooting guard, 25th player in Florida.
Okay. Well, great jump for some of those guys at the top of the board, of course. And that's great, you know, for the outlook of our basketball team for sure. People kind of tried to talk about how last year's team was, you know, possibly the most talented. I'd say this year is going to have a shot to be up there for sure if we're getting talent like that. I mean, obviously.
I feel great about next year. And I hate to say that in May. Because it's just going to bite me in the butt. I feel like we said this last year.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a major difference in last year and this year. And it's that we built a roster that's not only full of talented players, but it's full of talented players that complement each other's abilities and fit more naturally into what we want to do as a team.
My thing is, like, I don't think the players last year necessarily didn't fit together. I just thought they didn't fit in Rick Barnes' system.
Is that what you're basically referring to?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and just in general, because we didn't have that true point guard necessarily that we thought we would in either in Springer. And we didn't have that true big man. And I feel like both of those things have proven to be more of a necessity in Rick Barnes' offense. We also kind of need a bigger forward that can play both inside and out. We got that as well.
I agree. Again, I do think Barnes still has to kind of let these guys run a little bit. I think Barnes has to change his mindset. I thought the whole time
he has to open up a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah, he does need to adjust his game
one way or another. You know, like, no matter who he gets.
But you're right. This is way more traditional. Like, this roster is gonna be way more traditionally like people that fit into his system for sure. But he does need to still make adjustments. And
I have a little hope that he's gonna modernize the offense though, because he was man enough to reflect upon his current roster and realize that he needed to address it and make changes. He did that. You know, he pushed some guys out. He brought some guys in. And he really reshaped it. So credit to him for that. So I feel like if he's willing to do that and admit to an extent his wrongs in his roster building, that maybe he's also able to, you know, self-scout and reflect upon his offensive system and maybe realize that, hey, it's time to move on a little bit from the mid-range jumper.
Yeah,
it's time to modernize things a little bit more. I felt even more towards the end of the season a little bit. You know, the last 4 or 5 games, we even got away from that mid-range jumper a little bit. So, you know,
I think he definitely showed flashes of being able to kind of, you know, adjust with, you know, what the roster fit more than what he fit. Like, you can kind of, for example, I think the best example is, like, the second half of that Kentucky game where he just started letting the guys run, play freely, stuff like that, and we came back and won that game. It's just one of those things where he was finally just like, okay, like, this is what y'all are good at. We're going to embrace that. And that's what he needs to do.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, you could shoot mid-range jumpers. That's fine. Yeah. Like, if you're hitting them. Like, there were some games we were knocking them down. It's like, heck yeah, keep shooting the mid-range. Let's go, Jaden Springer, knocking down those tough jumpers.
Basketball.
And I get that. I completely understand. But it just, and it also just didn't fit what this team was about. Like, we needed to be pushing the ball, getting Keon on fast breaks, and letting him be athletic.
We had the
neat athleticism, that's what we needed to be.
Our team. We needed to be running, use the pawns blocking the shot to get out there and run with these athletic freshmen, stuff like that. And we just weren't doing stuff like that most of the year.
I thought another issue was we had a roster that was built to attack the basket, like you just said, with Keon and with Jaden Springer. But if you didn't have a serious post threat on the floor, then basically the paint was too crowded. They didn't have to respect the offensive capabilities of anyone but John Fulkerson.
Right.
They didn't have to respect Euros. They didn't have to respect Kamwa. They didn't respect pawns as much at the five as, you know, maybe you had hoped. So when you drive to the lane, defenders feel comfortable coming off of those guys to step over with their help defense, and it just made the lane so crowded that, you know, it was hard for those guys to be able to finish.
Oh, for sure. And also, on the same like spectrum with that, we didn't have any big guys that, you know, you could shift away from the basket to clear up the paint and be like, okay, now we have some driving lanes. Because, you know, Fulkerson's not a threat on the outside or people like that. So,
The thing with Hatfield and Adu is both of them are comfortable outside of the paint. Both of them are comfortable handling the ball and shooting.
Yeah, you need to respect their shooting stroke a little bit. So defenders can't necessarily be like, okay, they're standing at the three-point line. Let me shift all the way down to the paint because they can hurt you on that. And that's going to be really exciting to watch this year going forward. And it's going to be nice that we're going to get a normal year with this kind of roster, you know.
Now that you'll have more time to be able to develop those guys in the preseason and
for
develop
sure.
that chemistry too, which, you know, I think I could be wrong in saying this, but, you know, a trend of the COVID season to an extent, it felt like teams with a larger veteran presence were the teams that succeeded more because those teams that bring in, you know, the young guys on a consistent basis and rely more on younger scoring and younger contribution just didn't get, you know, the offseason that they're accustomed to be able to get those guys game ready.
Yeah, for sure. You can look at the Kentuckys and the Dukes and stuff like that had lots of struggles throughout the year and never really clicked together. And they were in that same kind of boat of just a bunch of young guys out there, didn't have the time to really mesh or bond, and they just got thrown into the games, and it really didn't work.
Like the national championship, that's Baylor and, I guess it wasn't Gonzaga, but the two best teams in the country, Baylor and Gonzaga. Gonzaga obviously had Jalen Suggs, who was a freshman, but other than that, they had roster of veterans. Same with Baylor.
But yeah, I would say Baylor same way. Lots of guys that have been there for a minute, and, you know, used to what the program is, you know, doing and stuff like that. So I am looking forward to Tennessee basketball this year, and those rankings, some of those guys going up. That's pretty exciting. Makes
that
doesn't
mention Justin Powell, transfer from Auburn as He'll be coming in, adding in another shooter. That's another
that's
key player.
That's gonna be a big addition for sure. Really looking forward to see what those guys can do.
Talking UT
year.
Basketball in May.
I know.
Love to see it.
It's wild. Rather talk that in football half the time nowadays, but
man, how much pressure is Barnes gonna be on though, Chuck? I mean, it's back to back years,
we can be honest with each other. We have a pretty toxic fan base as it is,
negative
fan base.
And also,
as
like,
it is.
Let's be honest, the football team's probably not gonna really live up to any expectations if there is any expectations.
Which puts more pressure,
exactly. They really shift completely over to basketball to at least because if they get knocked out of the first round again, man, like. There's going to be a lot of pissed off people, including us, I would say.
We have a segment of our fan base already that's out on Barnes.
Yeah, right. Oh, for sure.
He has to show you something.
I think there is some pressure on him this year.
He's put all his chips on the table with this class
and with the
reshaping of the roster.
Like Draven said, it's kind of like last year where people were like, wow, this could be the best UT team ever as far as talent, yada, yada, yada. Went out there, and obviously, you know, we get upset in the first round. Not a great – didn't – we were solid in the regular season, but obviously we had the stretch, you know, towards the end where we started struggling, stuff like that. And I think it's going to be the same boat going into this year. Is people are going to be talking about how great this recruiting class was, how good this roster should be. Like, we already just touched on it, like, how it should mesh way better than last year's class. We're always going to make something to be like, why this team should be better. And I think that's kind of where we're going to put this team in another box like that, and it's going to put Barnes under some pressure because we're going to be expecting him to win with this kind of team. So we've talked about it so many times. Like, we all know he traditionally hasn't been great in the postseason. Mm-hmm. But man, it's one of those years he really needs to kind of break through that a little bit. Like, we're not saying, like, you got to go out there and win a title. Like, you know, we all recognize how hard that is to do. Like, no matter how much pressure we put on him, we know it's hard to just go out there and win a title. But you can't be out here getting upset by Oregon State in the first. And I know they had a good run, but still, they were still a 12 seed or wherever they were.
Right.
And you can't get upset by teams like that in the tournament, especially when you're supposed to have such a good roster. So he's going to have some success this year, for sure.
I do think college basketball, I mean, it's hard to judge for these coaches, too, because it's like, you say all that, and I'm like, man, I just like, you get that one game where you can't make a shot. Yep. You get a team that's red hot, a Cinderella team that's rising up. It's just like, man, it is tough, but I do think we have to have those kind of expectations, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's just how it is.
I mean, no, obviously with what we're paying him and how well he's recruiting, you would expect it to correlate to some success, and it really hasn't as much as you would like, but.
So you guys think this team more talented than last year's team, just on paper going into the season?
Yes.
As a whole, I'd probably lean yes.
I feel like we can say that in hindsight, but I mean, going into the season, man. Yeah, top 10 picks.
Yeah,
we really thought we were going to be
absolutely.
Like those
would
two
guys
are going to be dominating.
Would you take Kennedy Chandler over Jaden Springer or Keon Johnson?
That's.
Oh,
I mean, you'd probably take Keon, right? Maybe we haven't seen Chandler play, so it's hard to judge. But I mean,
think maybe I would take Keon right now over Kennedy Chandler and Hatfield, but I would take Hatfield and Kennedy Chandler over Jaden Springer.
Yeah,
so I think Springer was a better college player than Keon.
Yeah, maybe it's more Keon's just potential.
Keon's potential is what's getting him so high in the NBA.
I thought that Keon was a better college player than Jaden Springer.
I think Springer just produced more, man. That was kind of my thing there. Like, I think Keon's a better player overall, just, you know, as far as especially translating to the NBA. I think he'll be fine, you know, with more spacing, stuff like that, his athleticism, like, obviously. But Springer seemed to be a little bit better about actually, like, you know, translating it to success at the college level. And I don't think he's, you know, doesn't have as high a ceiling in the NBA as Keon does. So, I may lean Chandler over Keon just off the point that, like, he should fit the team better. But, yeah. I mean, you guys are right. Like, they were two really good players coming in last year. And, like, obviously we thought that was going to be a great thing, you know, with those guys, like, NBA potential. Like, you talk about top 10 potential players coming into the year. It just didn't translate to a lot of success, unfortunately, and here we are again. But hoping this team does great, you know, this upcoming year. We really need it. We could really use it. That first round loss was really disappointing this past year, and would like to not see that again. But
man, that loss feels like ages ago, doesn't it?
It does. It does Jeez. Feel like a minute ago. But yeah, that was a rough one. That was a rough one. Hopefully Barnes can bounce back this year, like we kind of just looked at. Upside of this roster looks really well. Looks really good. Should have some good players coming in. Hopefully good things happen from that. But we'll catch a break here and come back on the other side. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey folks, James.
All right, we're back here in the Fan Run Studios. So Aaron Rodgers has been in the news a ton lately.
What happened next? What's all?
We finally got
his
former mentor.
Oh wow!
Brett Favre coming out and
the guy that lived in his shoes, huh?
On Aaron Rodgers and his riff with the Packers. So basically, Brett Favre, they kind of, you know, they've been asking him a lot of random stuff lately. I don't know how they track him down.
I was about to say, what does Brett Favre do? Like, they just, like,
I guess
catch
he's still just hanging out in Mississippi or something.
Catch a, you know, pass a football in his jeans? Is that, like,
catching Wrangler commercials?
What are we doing here?
They're probably just interviewing him because he'll give an opinion on anything.
That is true. Yeah. That is a good point.
Absolutely no knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll jump in there. He'll
just say something.
I feel like he has a tad bit of knowledge, at least on Aaron Rodgers' mindset. Yep. So he did jump in and give his thoughts on this situation. And basically the quote from Brett Favre here was, "Knowing Aaron, I think I know him fairly well. If he has a grudge, whether it be against the organization or a player or an arch rival, family, friends, he ain't budging. I don't see him coming back if it's not resolved, whatever the issue is. Even if it is, it's resolved, but he feels like they have one up on him, he ain't going to play. Knowing Aaron, he would sit," Favre said. So, pretty straightforward from Favre there, and that's where I think a lot of people, you know, are kind of thinking Aaron Rodgers' head is at. Like, we've talked about how he doesn't even talk to his family, man. You think the Packers can be able to convince him to talk about these random, just whatever the situation is, stuff like that.
And it's just so hard to, like, when all this comes out, I feel like it's so hard to patch this up, right? Like,
yeah.
When even the Russell Wilson stuff come out, I don't know if you guys saw, but, like, yeah. Pete Carroll was talking, I don't know if it was last week, it may have been earlier this week, but I saw a headline where it's like, yeah, we're all good. Russell Wilson's happy. Like, everybody's happy. It's almost like, it's just like that marriage that you know is, like, about to come to an end, and you keep telling yourself, like, oh, no, we're good. We're happy. Don't worry. Everybody's fine. Everything's fine. Don't panic. We're good. When really, say what?
Maybe they should just have a baby.
You gotta do something. You gotta do something dramatic to turn it around, right?
Yep.
I do think there is a point to that.
I don't know, man. If I'm the Packers, like, we still have all the leverage. All the leverage. And I'm still...
Do you, though?
Yes, you do. Financially, you have
yes,
all the leverage.
Yes, but I also feel like it's not like, you know, he's hurting for money.
If Aaron Rodgers holds out, he'll owe $50,000 per day mandatory that he misses.
Yeah.
And if he retires, he's obligated to repay the Packers roughly $30 million. So, I think that is...
How does that work? How do you retire? You have to pay
money back.
It's
like the signing bonuses and stuff like that. So, yeah, like...
paid up front and stuff like that.
It was like the roster. You'll be on the roster kind of money, kind of. So, like, the fact that you wouldn't be on the roster, you're kind of like, hey, we're going to need that back. So, yeah, no, the financial strain is there for sure. But also not like Aaron's hurting for money.
That's my thing. Even if you're not hurting for money, though, I mean... $30+ million, I feel like, is a pretty good financial incentive to quit being a whiny coward.
Did you guys also hear the other reports? Packers apparently are upset because teams, and there was two names, San Francisco and Denver, are contacting Aaron Rodgers and not the team, talking about trades, talking about getting him over there.
Honestly,
is the report?
That may be
that's interesting. Yeah,
Aaron Rodgers hopping on Tinder before he gets a divorce.
That's exactly what's happening. Literally.
Broncos and 49ers hit him with a super like.
Yep. May divorce be with you or whatever yesterday was. But, yeah, we'll see. I mean, it just keeps getting...
Furthermore, he was referring to Packers GM Bjorken, whatever you say it, as famous Chicago Bulls. Executive who broke up the Bulls.
Is it Rosendorf? Is that what his name was?
All of a sudden, I can't remember his name. That's tough.
I'm pretty
tough
sure
look
that's
for
his
me.
Name.
But he was referring to the GM as that in group messages dating back several years now, or dating back a year. So they are not happy about that either.
Yeah.
That he's just openly making fun of the GM and won't even refer to him as his real name among the team and with teammates.
Jerry Krause was
Yes,
the,
Jerry
was the
Krause.
Bulls.
Thank you so much. Mm.
Okay, yeah.
Jerry Krause, yeah. So he doesn't call Bjorken by his real name. He only calls him Jerry Krause, reportedly.
Wow. I think Favre's right. I think Aaron is very firm on his grudges, and he has no shame in, you know, showing that at all.
Aaron Rodgers sucks.
He's not a great person, I don't think. Great player. I don't know if he's a great person.
I think we're going to have to get used to this, Chuck, man. Like, this is what's going to be happening. Like, we've already seen quarterbacks, like, pretty much say, like, hey, if I'm not even just the slightest unhappy, if I'm just a little bit unhappy, I'm going
to
demand a trade. If I don't get any say
in the
organization,
I'm
going
to
demand
a
trade.
It's the NBA effect. They see it happen in the NBA, people just casually forcing out, and they don't have as great a players union, obviously,
yeah,
in the NFL.
They have a much worse players union and much worse CBA, though. And, you know, so you can see it happen, but... I mean, this is the third quarterback that's attempted it now, at least to an extent with Russ and Deshaun.
Mm-hmm.
Now Aaron Rodgers just this offseason. It hasn't worked yet.
It hasn't
worked this offseason. It hasn't worked in offseasons past because financially, regardless of what the quarterback wants, the NFL team still will always hold a great deal of leverage.
I would say you could argue that Russell Wilson, it worked in his case as far as them listening to him and trying to get some more offensive line help, stuff like that. Like, they did go out there and try and get a few guys and, you know, try to mend that a little bit. I don't think he was as much trying to get off the team. But, yeah, no, with Deshaun and Aaron, it's very the organizations have been very firm in being like, yep, nope, not trading him.
And it hurts, the players' perception, right? I mean, I know Deshaun has other stuff, but still, people, before the whole, you know, stuff came out about him, like, people were kind of like, you know, looked at him a little differently for demanding a trade and thinking, like, come on, Deshaun, like, well, you know, what are we doing here? Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. Like, I mean, should we not be a little bit more pro player here, and shouldn't players have a little bit more say? Why is that? Why do NBA players get to pretty much do whatever they want? James Harden gets to completely tank a franchise just to go to a winning team. The Rockets are going to be a mess for years to come because of James Harden.
I'm anti-James Harden doing that, though, and it's because NBA executives have been more cowardly than NFL executives. I mean, we're acting like these players are you know, being held against their will. They signed a contract that they agreed to get paid lots of money. They're not some victim here, and I'm not pro player at all. These businesses,
I mean, that's the argument for sure. It's like, hey, you're paying them all this money, you're expecting them to do, you know, whatever, you know, whatever you kind of they've signed up for.
I mean, if some Kroger employee down the road that, you know, is a manager is asking for more, and would we be pro Kroger employee? I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, they're more than athletes. They're employees. It's a business.
And I think that's true as well. But also, when you have, like, just for Aaron Rodgers' sake, like, why is the reason the business is running so well in Green Bay? Why are they so successful? Oh, probably because they have, you know, one of the most exciting dynamic quarterbacks who have touched the field ever.
And
definitely the most exciting quarterback
taken,
in the last decade, I'd say.
They've given him lots and lots and lots and lots of money. And they've given him a great defense.
I'm not trying to defend Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, he has a top-tier wide receiver. He has a top-tier offensive line. He has a top-tier running back. At some point, if there's, I mean, there has to be an end to the give and the give and the give.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it seems like they're both, like, it's a very strong crossroads right now, just because, like, the organization, I think, is going to be just as stubborn as Aaron Rodgers at this rate, and they're going to be trying to hold firm because it's the future of your franchise right here. Like, it's a franchise Hall of Fame quarterback, MVP-winning quarterback. You don't want to just casually
It's also a franchise, like, Green Bay's also kind of, I feel like, a little set in their ways as well, just because, like, they're kind of a historical franchise a little bit. They kind of, I feel like they, like you said, might be a little stubborn themselves just because they've been running kind of a smaller operation, it feels like, forever. Pretty much.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, you don't want to just, like, I know you drafted Jordan Love, and you probably, they claim they feel good about him still, but MVP to Jordan Love, an unproven quarterback, that's not the drop off you want to just
so much pressure on Jordan
especially
Love.
Especially with how open the NFC is this year.
Yeah.
Like, you would think that Aaron Rodgers has a legit shot of, you know, getting to an NCAA championship, or NFC championship, stuff like that again, and have a shot to, you know, get to a Super Bowl this year. And, you know, his window is closing, obviously, and you want to take advantage of that, especially as an organization. You just want that success a little bit. But all right, well, we'll hit a quick break right here, and then we'll close out hour one here on Fan Run on Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Stick with us.
Your pet is an important part of your family, and when he or she is ill, you want the best medical care available. The vets and staff at Admiral Vet are ready to provide your pet with cutting-edge veterinary medical care. From wellness exams and vaccines to advanced diagnostics and complex surgical procedures, your dog, cat, or ferret will receive high-quality care at Admiral Vet. Located at 204 North Watt Road, give them a call, 865-675-1833. That's Admiral Vet, and online at admiralvet.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Stephen Malone at Knoxville Smiles. You know, a lot's changed in the past 25 years that I've been a dentist here in East Tennessee. There's been so many advances in the way that we treat patients. We've got the availability of clear aligners and minimally invasive dentistry, but we still worry about comfort, health, function, and the way teeth look as well. If we can help you with your smile, give us a call at 865-539-1776 or set up an appointment online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com.
If you or a loved one has been injured in an automobile accident, you deserve the best. With over 20 years experience in car and semi-truck accident cases, the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III have the expertise to handle your case and get you the money you deserve. Visit G3HelpMe.com to get your free legal consultation and let the G3 team put their experience to work for you. Attorney G. Turner Howard III and his staff understand exactly what you're going through. They'll handle your case, and there are no fees unless the G3 team wins for you. Don't wait a minute longer. If you're in Knoxville, Sevierville, Chattanooga, the Tri-Cities, or surrounding areas, let the G3 team go to work for you. Call the law offices of G. Turner Howard III today, 865-558-8030, or visit their website at g3helpme.com to get the legal advice and representation you need and the money you deserve. That's the law offices of G. Turner Howard III at g3helpme.com.
So you're watching the game, and you see another ad for FanDuel Sportsbook, and you think to yourself, is that legal here in Tennessee? You bet it is. FanDuel Sportsbook is now legal in Tennessee, and you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Seriously, there's no strings attached.
All right, quick little segment here as we close out the hour. You're saying there's Tennessee Vols in next year's mock draft already?
Whoa. No way.
Is that what I'm hearing? There's already...
No, I think... Do you hear that? I think that someone's saying next year is our year.
Really? Okay.
I think someone's
saying
Tennessee's back.
We're back.
We're in
is it Sam Ellinger? Is he yelling for UT now? We're back.
That's what we need.
Yeah. Article just came out from GoVols 247. Mm-hmm. Cade Mays has been a popular first-round pick in many early 2022 NFL mock drafts. Look at Tennessee, baby. Pumping out picks. Ayo.
Okay, Tennessee.
NFL machine.
NFL school.
We got outdone by North Dakota State this past draft, but next year, baby.
We won't get outdone by them ever again.
Do we have a projected round for him?
Was it first round?
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Popular first round selection.
Well?
You think there's any other guys, though? Cade Mays.
On this, Vicky, come mean, out this year.
I don't think that Cade Mays is going to go first round.
I don't think
I would lean no by the time we get around that time.
He'd probably go second day, maybe.
Yeah. I can see two or three for sure.
Alante could be.
I'd say Alante's draftable. I would say
maybe Velus Jones Jr., depending on what kind of year he has.
Maybe somebody takes a flyer in the sixth or seventh.
I can see him, honestly, but his return, we talked about
how much of him being a return specialist, and he didn't really like add anything to that last year. He had a couple decent ones, but like when you add the guy that's like labeled as like a return specialist, it's like you're like, oh, he could be an All American return guy. You would expect at least. Some big pops, and you don't really have that.
I don't blame – I don't know. I feel like last year was so broken that even kick returns could have been broken.
Fair enough. I'll give you that.
I mean, Velus is fast, dynamic, pretty good hands.
I think he looks better as a receiver. He definitely looked better, as the year went on, and in the spring game he looked pretty, serviceable as a receiver. Like, I definitely could see the NFL team taking a flyer.
He's got to have a pretty big year,
but he's also
though,
old.
Right? I mean,
he's older,
have to have
too,
a...
though, is the other thing. What's this, like his fifth, sixth year or something like that?
Thousandth.
Like, yeah, so, him being older drops him down on the potential spectrum as far as the NFL people look at him.
If the offense does what people, hope it does, and he's a big part of that production, I could see him creeping up into the fourth or fifth. Alante, honestly, I see is probably, borderline sixth or seventh round pick.
Yeah, I'd
or
say he'd be
end
of the
UDFA.
Draft, but yeah. He's draftable. I'd say he's draftable.
Juwan Mitchell. What year is he? Is he draft eligible? I think he is.
I would assume yes. Because
he's already sure played. He's played at Texas for two seasons.
Yeah, I would assume he is for sure.
I think he's a sophomore technically.
He's probably
this year,
draftable
last
too
year didn't
for
count
sure.
Towards his eligibility, but he's draft eligible. Yeah. If he decided to leave,
and he'd be draftable. People love those guys that, can find the football, and that's what he is as a tackle machine. So
he's fast.
Yeah.
Tackles a lot. I mean,
yeah, that's some of the bases that I
don't know if
nowadays.
He would leave, but if he came out, you know, I could see a team if he's able to just be that centerpiece of our defense and get a lot
of
tackles.
If he's solid enough this year in the way our defense is going to play this year, you should leave, I feel like, and go make that money while you can. But, okay, next year. Next year is the Vols' year.
Let's go.
We're coming next year for the NFL draft. Mark our words. We are coming for y'all. But hour one is in the books. Hour two, we'll kick it off with headlines. Got a lot more stuff to get into. So stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.